following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sablicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream, and we're taking you with us. Happy first Saturday of May, everybody. Green Up Day. Welcome to Sports Saturday. I'm Bernie Sablicki in the lead chair today, filling in for Jeff Paul, who is out on assignment. Filling in for me with a tough task, because Justin was very good last week. Not a stranger to our show, constant caller, and someone with a deep wealth of knowledge, especially about baseball, the NFL draft, and one quick quiz. Who did UVM lose to in the America East Championship for basketball this year?
So I believe they lost to a player named Trey Lyles.
Yes, UMBC. Off air, we got a little foggy. We had to work through that. Our good friend of the show, Jan from Underhill. Jan, well, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me in this morning. I appreciate it, Bernie. I appreciate the opportunity to come and share my wealth of knowledge with the fans out there in Vermont. Beautiful day out there today. You mentioned all the things that I do know a lot about. I do also know a lot about licking things.
Well, you know, we will get into that a little bit, as there was a little bit of some licking last night in the NHL. But a lot of things, even just flying kind of under the radar early this morning, Albert Pujols.
Yeah, I mean, Pujols collects his 3,000th hit. He's got 600 home runs, automatic first ballot Hall of Famer. Is he a compiler? He kind of fell off the map a little bit when he went to Anaheim, right?
He did, but just still one of the guys that you just kind of, oh yeah, Albert Pujols, he was great. You know, you think about that. And what a show we've got today. We got Tom King coming on at 10:22, talk about the Patriots and their draft and what's going on in Patriot Nation. And he's really our only guest. We got a little special out in left field, a hot or not segment. Plenty of stuff to get to in the world of sports, as it's a fun time of year. We're going to have a conversation about LeBron versus Michael. I can't really do this with Jeff because of his passion he has towards LeBron James.
He's a LeBron hater, right?
He's very passionate towards LeBron and Michael.
I understand that when he speaks about LeBron, he speaks with kind of a tone in his voice, if you will.
Yes, a very passionate tone. Right. So we're going to have a debate about that later on in the show. Going to talk about some baseball, Matt Harvey, the Dodgers last night, all kinds of stuff there.
Yanks walked it off.
Yeah, whatever.
And Duhar walked it off last night.
Yeah.
It's just another name. Like, go down the lineup. They are nasty.
They are, and they're still in second. So, but we'll get to that later. But you're a Mets fan anyways.
Unfortunately, yes. The New York Los Metropolitanos started out 12-2. We are now 17-13. So, think about that, right?
So typical.
Yeah, so we'll be at 500 by the end of next week. So
yeah, all right.
We stink. Yeah, there's no getting around that fact. The house of cards that lineup that we have that is old and riddled, and a couple of young guys that can't hit stinks.
Well, and they're throwing away diamonds, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, the grounds crew made a couple bucks off. Yo,
that was unbelievable.
If you didn't see it, folks, he wears a lot of jewelry. He hit a ball that he legged out for a double, which is awesome to see him being able to run from home to second. And in the midst of running from home to second, he busted his chain, which was littered with diamonds. And so they had to stop the game for a couple minutes so they could pick up Yo's diamonds.
I'm surprised like people from the crowd weren't just kind of coming down to
I'm a groundskeeper, I'm going to go out there and help. And I might just tuck one in my sock.
Might as well. You know, Kentucky Derby today. We got to touch on that a little later. And then, you know, a lot of talk about the Sixers and the Celtics. And one person I want to talk about, because this guy, kind of like Albert Pujols, but even in a basketball sense, Rajon Rondo. Yeah. Where have you been? What have you been doing? And look at you now.
So you're a Celtics fan. Rondo last night goes for 21 dishes. You know, that puts him in the
class. Who was the last person to get 20 assist or more in an NBA playoff game?
Oh boy! So I know that Stockton and Magic.
Last person, 2011.
Was it him?
Rajon Rondo.
It was him against the Knicks, wasn't it?
I don't know the specifics of the game. I just saw that it was him.
And it's like a scar. It's one of those PTSD things that I have as a Knicks fan that I can remember him dropping dimes on us. So he last night 21 dishes. It's him and Stockton and Magic Johnson in that class of being able to put up more than 20 assists in a playoff game in NBA history. You're a Celtics fan. Rondo, I mean, he's a building block. All of a sudden, he's just gone. He's off the Celtics. What happened? Why did you guys fall out of love with Rajon?
Well, again, I think it was just his mindset, the mentality. You look at everywhere he's kind of gone. When he's had really good players, he's been very good. When, you know, he goes to Chicago, there was problems, but he plays. They get up 2-0 on the Celtics. He gets hurt. They lose the series. He goes to Sacramento. That was a disaster. But anything that goes to Sacramento was kind of a disaster.
Yeah, you could say that. I don't get it, though. I mean, the guy's a skilled player. He's a great athlete. Is he a problem? Is he a head case? Like, is he one of those guys that makes the locker room hard to deal with?
But now he comes back and I mean, they smashed Golden State last night.
I'll say this, though, in having watched that game, Golden State kind of took the night off. They looked like they had no energy. Durant and Curry were
fun night in New Orleans, maybe, for the Warriors?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They had the hoodie zipped up tight.
I can't stand that.
Klay Thompson had 20 in the second quarter, and then all of a sudden they just stopped playing basketball. It looks like they took the night off. I don't know. The energy just wasn't there. And when you've got Anthony Davis going bananas, like literally every time he caught the ball, he dunked it. Maybe it was one of those nights where the Warriors were just like, all right, let's just go to the next game.
Yeah, I don't know. But I just, again, I'm dumbfounded by Rajon Rondo. And, you know, you talk about a guy who, if he was consistent, would be a sure Hall of Famer. Because, I mean.
You think so?
If he did what he did in Boston, what he's doing now in terms of these numbers, if he is consistent like that, you know, you look at the glimpses he had in Chicago just with that series. I mean,
he's bounced around a lot, though.
But I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. His inability to be consistent and to stay steady. I mean, if you really want to go back to his last game at Kentucky when he lost in the NCAA tournament. Unbelievable. It was an overtime loss, and he I think he was just shy of a triple-double, but he was unbelievable. He's so good, and that's why I just, you know, you play on TNT on a Thursday, you get the triple-double, you're playing in Atlanta on Saturday, not on TV, and you got 3 points, four assists, seven turnovers.
Take the day off.
It's so sad to see such a talent be so inconsistent.
Yeah, it's the guy who's probably tough to coach because you need that energy every single day.
I mean, and you know, he had problems with Doc Rivers, and doesn't seem like Doc is the hardest guy to get along with.
No, he's a player's coach. We love the Doc.
So we'll see what Rondo and that crew can do from there.
The series is over, though. I mean, realistically, like, to think about...
You think Golden State, it's over.
They have an ability to turn it on and turn it off. And I think last night, after halftime, they were just like, you know what, let's just move to the next game. That team is destined for a Rockets Golden State matchup. It's going to be fun to watch. I love the Rockets.
I'm not sold on that yet. I think again with Rondo and with Davis and Drew Holiday, I think they can extend the series. I don't know if they can win because I will agree with you. I think Golden State is better, but I don't think it's over in five.
Okay, I will agree to disagree on that.
You think it's five? You think it's done?
I think it's done. I think they come out next game and Golden State just says, "Okay, the men are here to play basketball."
You don't think Golden State will shoot what I think 27-28% from three?
It was ugly. It was ugly. It wasn't a fun game to watch. You know, I was flipping back and forth from a bunch of different things, and after halftime, that game was easy to turn off.
Yeah. Well, before we get to probably one of the things you were flicking to, good luck today to the UVM men's lacrosse team.
Right.
Playing for the. For the championship of the America East Tournament at noon today.
Albany, right? Great Danes?
Yeah, down in Albany, who I don't know if they still are, but has spent some time as the number one team in the country. So Catamounts looking to pull the upset, a definite underdog, but the program has won the most games in a season this year and just had an unbelievable year and looking to put a little cherry on top of the sundae by upsetting Albany and winning the America East Lacrosse Championship.
Awesome. Go Cats, go. Let's go. I'll root for them. Whatever. Yeah, synchronized swimming, I'm in. Sign me up for the Catamounts. Let's go.
That is so true.
We got a text on the Town Fair Tire text line taking it back to Warriors Pelicans. Big Mike McGillicuddy says any team foolish enough to take games off deserves to lose. Warriors better straighten up. Last night was ugly.
You know, and to his point, he was absolutely correct. With that, look at Houston. Game two really didn't play well, and game three, even their coach, you know, Mike D'Antoni was like, "All right, they were complacent in game two, and they weren't complacent last night as they came right out and just smashed Utah."
Yeah, I don't disagree with Mike. Like, this is professional sports. Like, you get lazy, and then all of a sudden you find yourself playing golf, right? So. Good. Go wake up. Go play basketball. Let's go. Bring the energy up.
Yes, and we appreciate that text. And if you're interested in calling or texting 655-6672, 655-6672, please help us help you with
help
what you
me.
Want to. Yes,
help you. Help me. Help you
with what you want to talk about. What you got to say?
You know that movie? You got that movie?
No, I was actually no. I know. I'll just say no.
Dude, he hasn't seen Forrest Gump.
Are you kidding me? You haven't seen Forrest Gump?
I also haven't seen.
What was the other one?
Oh boy,
this is on you, Bernie. You've seen it, and you're like railing on me for having not seen it. Now you can't think of the name.
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. Yeah, it was Caddyshack.
You're fired. Collect the things and go. Yeah, my 9-year-old son has seen Caddyshack. We made him wear earmuffs a bunch of times.
I was going to say.
Yeah, he, so yeah, you got to watch these movies, man. Jerry Maguire, help me, help you. You got to see these movies.
I'll put it on my list.
The list is growing and growing.
Sounds like it.
But, you know, speaking of we're starting to run out of time and helping us help them, the Boston Bruins.
Is licking allowed? Do you suspend a guy for licking some guy?
I don't know. I've never played hockey. I don't know how to skate. I love watching playoff hockey. I was saddened by the Bruins falling to the Lightning last night, you know, down to nothing, battling back, taking the lead, then having it tied, on which, without question, there should have been a penalty called before.
Yeah, you said that. It's happening so fast, man. I love
that. Was egregious.
It's a penalty, but they missed it. You know, it's like called strike three where they miss it. Like, you know,
now, not in a situation like that. You've got 97 officials on the ice. Yeah. How they missed that, I don't know.
One of the officials took a spill last night into the
ball. Oh, that was a good one, too. Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay. But it's Dan Girardi who puts the biscuit in the basket for the Lightning last night to finish it off. And as a Rangers fan, like, he's always around the net. Good for him. The Bruins are in trouble, right? We're in trouble.
Is that like... That's got to be like top five best expressions in sports. Put the biscuit in the basket.
Yeah, I mean,
can't even say it.
You can't even go wrong with that, right?
Yeah,
it's a honey biscuit, and you're putting it in a happy basket.
Speaking of honey and love and happy, how about that licking incident, man? That like it takes a lot to kind of creep me out. This
is Brad Marchand's thing, right? So he did this in the last series. So when I think about, like, I'm going to get in somebody's head, like if I'm playing basketball, if I'm playing a sport and I want to get in somebody's head, I'm going to use my words, right? Licking some other guy's mouth is the last thing that I think I want to do when it's coming in trash talking.
Yeah, I just it's disgusting. And that guy, I really think...
it was Callahan.
Right, and I think there should be a penalty for it, like in terms of a suspension. I mean, that's just... It doesn't make sense to me.
He didn't spit on him, he licked him.
Yeah. I mean, that's premeditated. And now if you're going into the corner against Brad Marchand, are you doing that?
I'm wearing the full face mask. Yeah. I'm wearing the full face mask. Don't lick me.
Yeah, no doubt about
lick
that.
Lick me on the ear. Don't lick me in the mouth.
Yeah, that's a don't do either to me. But anyways, I guess this music means we got to go to commercial break. When we come back, we got Tom King, beat writer for the Patriots, talk about their great wide receiver from the U that they drafted.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
Really, right now, it's all about the NFL draft. And the guy who stole the show yesterday, without question, was this.
And Bernie Siplicki.
The Tennessee Titans select Honor Landry from Boston College.
Yeah, I think that's Harold then. I think that's Harold Landry.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go, yo.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday. I'm Bernie Siplicki, filling in for Jeff Paul in the lead chair. My man Jan from Underhill Center.
The Burn.
Taking it over. And, you know, again, the NFL draft still fresh on everybody's mind. And who better to talk to all for the Patriot fans out there than our buddy Tom King, beat writer for the Patriots. Tom, how you doing?
Oh, so no Jeff Paul today. That's why I got this double secret CIA text message late at night during the week to ask me to come on from Aaron.
Well, you know, I mean, again, we got the JV team here back in the studio, so we needed to bring on a big time guest for you to save us. So we appreciate you joining us on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. How you doing today?
No problem. Not bad, guys. Not bad. We're back to spring. We went from summer to spring, and at least I don't have to spend 5 hours in a little cubicle down in Foxborough for another NFL draft.
No,
so.
No question about that. Speaking of the draft and the Patriots, I'm a big conspiracy guy. Was the premeditated Jimmy Garoppolo pick trade so people can't say who got the better of the deal? Was that premeditated?
No, there's no way anybody could do that. I mean, that would be taking ego to a new level. You know, it's all the wheeling and dealing kind of surprised me because I guess I misread what a lot of people thought about this draft, or at least what the Patriots thought about this draft. Because I don't think they thought much of it, not in the middle to lower, you know, not in the rounds 3 through 6. They didn't think at least 3, 4, 5. They didn't think a whole lot of this draft, and they didn't have the capital to, unless they wanted to forfeit a lot of stuff for next year to move up into the top 5, 6, 7, 8 spots. To get, you know, the sexy pick, the quarterback, or a real impact guy. So, you know, I just think that they just kept trading down and trading out and trading out and trading out because they just didn't think there was much, you know, I don't want to say value. I would say talent. They couldn't have been enamored with the talent in those rounds. I really think that had to be it. And... you know, do they feel better about what's coming out next year? Who knows? I mean, because, you know, they've got a lot of top picks next year. But you would have figured with two number ones and two number twos that they would have brought in a big haul for this year, and they really didn't do that. But at least they picked some players. Last year they only picked 4. So this year at least they brought in 9.
They brought in a couple guys that are going to help with pass protection. The offensive lineman from Georgia, Isaiah Wynn, and Sony Michel. It sounds like he can pick up the blitz a little bit. Is there any legitimacy though, Tom, for all the New England fans out there Would they have traded up to get Baker Mayfield? Is that a pick that they would have actually made?
Have they ever done anything like that in their history?
Look, I'm a Jets fan. I'm hoping that they're going to make a bad move. So.
Then you ought to be on your knees thanking me because I'm a Giants fan. The Giants did you guys a big favor last week.
No doubt. No doubt. We got the quarterback of our dreams. He's got beautiful hair. But do you think, I mean, they wouldn't have gone up and taken Baker Mayfield. He's not legit.
I couldn't see them. And I couldn't see the Lamar Jackson stuff that was going on before the draft. I was laughing at all that. That's, you know, typical pre-draft stuff. You know, did they like Baker Mayfield? Yeah, maybe they did, but they weren't. Would you have mortgaged the farm? Would any general manager have mortgaged the farm for Baker Mayfield? I don't think so. The Browns liked him enough to pick him number one, sure. But, you know, would you have made all those deals? If you were looking at the quarterbacks last December, you know, even, you know, before Heisman vote or anything like that, would you have said, oh, I got to get this guy. I got to, you know, package three number ones and two number twos and go up and grab this guy? Of course not. No. I don't think anybody would have thought that. And I don't think they did either.
The Colts fleeced the Jets to get, you know, to have us move up. So, yes, we did mortgage a few. So, there's some. What do you think about their picks, though? I mean, did they make sensible moves in order to improve the program?
As far as the Patriots go, I think, you know, they do what they typically do when they pick and where they pick. They'll grab a guy that maybe for the first 6, 8, 10 weeks of the season, you're not going to hear a whole lot about. And then by week 11, he makes a couple of big plays for you. And then he disappears for another couple of games. By week 14, he makes another play for you. And maybe he'll make a play for you in the playoffs. And then next year, he's going to make a lot of plays for you. So I think that's what they did. I think that's what they did with these guys. Isaiah Wynn, I looked at him more as a guard than a tackle, but, you know, they like versatile linemen that they can, you know, throw all over the place because they know the injury risk is high there. And Sony Michel is a good running back. I mean, I think they got a decent running back, and it wasn't a bad pick. I mean, they obviously liked the player and grabbed him there. See, here's where everybody kind of, when they go into a draft, they go, so you've got to draft this position. You've got to draft that position. They don't do it that way. They look at what's on their board and who's the highest rated player available when it's their turn to pick. And if they like that player, they'll grab them. And if their board says otherwise, they'll go somewhere else.
Tom, what was the one area that surprised you the Patriots didn't address in the draft or sooner, you know, when this happened last week?
I would have thought they might have gone a little bit. Usually every draft, they try to address, get some more beef for the defensive line. Of course, everybody's probably saying quarterback and everything else, but I don't think they liked what was there after the big names were gone. But almost every draft, they usually grab somebody big that they can put up front. Now, they made some, you know, they got some veterans in that'll probably fill those roles for next year. But I would have thought for the future, maybe they would do that. Oh, they have a couple from last year's draft that were hurt. You know, Dietrich Wise played last year and then he got hurt. So maybe they felt that they don't need that. But I would have felt that they might have gone to try to get some defensive line. But again, if the position is something you might want to fill, but the players that are there that you don't like, you're not going to draft them just to say you drafted one. So, you know, that's the thing. Now, the quarterback from LSU, I think that in the seventh round, why not? But the other factor is the one thing they liked about this guy, he didn't turn the ball over. That was the big, I mean, and Casario mentioned that last Saturday night. He didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, but they never threw the ball at LSU.
So much, you know, but he didn't turn it over. So that's what they go with.
Is he going to look good holding the clipboard is really the question there.
Now, he's not going to look good as holding a clipboard as I do holding a notebook. I'll tell you that.
Nice,
right now.
Nice. All right, what do you think about the guy from the U? Is this the next Amendola, Braxton Barrios, wide receiver? Is he?
Oh, he was a hoot. We talked to him on the phone. This guy is as cocky as all get up. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's probably down with all the other Amendola Welker types at the Derby today. You know, the Kentucky Derby. You know, who knows? This guy's something else.
You think he's going to drink a mint julep or two?
Oh, I bet. You know, I mean, this guy is, I mean, I'll tell you what, though. He's one of the smartest football players you could ever draft. I mean, I think he was tops in his class at Miami. Halfway, you know, he graduated halfway through the year from the Miami Business School.
Wait a second. Tops in his class at Miami. It may be like, that may be like one of those, like, oxymoron
hey,
types.
They got a lot of smart real estate dealers down in Miami.
There you go.
Come on now. All right? You know? So, no, this guy's definitely, he's definitely that type of player. There was no question about it. I think everybody was, it was amazing. You fit the bill perfectly, you know, and they grabbed it. And they got some guys with some good stories that they picked last week. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out in training camp. I think, you know, a lot of the players, you know, I'd say three or four of them will probably end up on the practice squad. You know, that's the way it looks right now, the later picks that they made.
Tom, you know, we got a couple minutes left. You had mentioned earlier that, you know, the Giants did the Jets a favor in the draft. please, as a Giants fan, share some of that with me.
Well, I mean, everybody knew. I mean, what was the slogan that the Jets had at the start of the season?
We were going to suck for Sam.
Suck for Sam, yeah. Right. Okay, well, you know, they got him, right? They ended up getting him. They didn't think they would, but they got him.
Yeah, we played just bad enough to almost not get him.
Yeah, I know, no kidding. You know, but it was, you know, like, the Giant, everybody's, you know, it's either here or there for the running back with Saquon Barkley or the Giants pick. I mean, you either love it or you hate it. There's no in between. I wasn't too, you know, I watched a lot of, you know, covering high school football here on a Saturday evening and then coming home and watching a lot of college football, you know, just late Saturday night. And I'm watching Darnold and Rosen throw the ball all over the place and get picked off half the time. I just wasn't too enamored with these quarterbacks. And evidently, Dave Gettleman, who's my favorite GM of all time, believe me. This guy's a riot.
Oh, you got to pick Stas. You got to pick Stas.
Oh, he's unbelievable. I mean, yeah. You know, I'm at Ben and Jerry's. I got a lot of flavors, you know. Oh, he's great. He's absolutely the hog mollies and everything else. I mean, he's fantastic. But they loved the running back. They thought he was a can't-miss player. And I loved his attitude going into the draft. If you're going to pick number two, it better be somebody you can put a gold jacket on, you know, down the road. And I don't know if you can do that with any of those quarterbacks, but I bet the Barkley kid, if he stays healthy, I bet you will. So it was either going to be, from what I understand, it was either going to be him or Chubb. It wasn't going to be, if Cleveland had taken Barkley, the Giants were taking Chubb, they weren't taking any of the quarterbacks. And should they have? You know, I don't know. They think that there's enough with Manning there. Look, Manning's at the point in his career where if he doesn't have a solid offensive line in front of him, he's not going to be very good. They're going to put one in front of him, I'm pretty sure. And they're going to see what they have with him to see if he can go two more years. The mistake the Giants made last year, the silly mistake, was when they had all the Eli flap about benching him, was they benched him for Geno Smith and not Davis Webb, which was an unbelievable, colossal blunder.
Geno!
Yeah, well.
You know, I mean, if you're going to bench Manny, bench him for a guy you know is going to be with you for the next 3 or 4 years to see how he is. You know, and if they, you know, they liked what they saw out of Webb in the minicamp. You know, minicamp, big deal. And they weren't going to say that he wasn't very good. So, and put that label on them to make them desperate for trading or anything like that. So, but we'll see if the Giants made the right decision. I mean, look, Giants and the Patriots could both use a young quarterback now, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tom, we appreciate you taking the time and helping the JV team out today while Jeff is on assignment, and we will look forward to talking to you soon.
No problem, no problem. Those late night texts, you know, I get those, and I said, oh, this is important. This has got to be important.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
All right, guys.
That was Tom King, our good friend on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, giving us a little synopsis on the Patriots and their draft and a little NFL talk. And as always, phenomenal. And when we come back, we will talk some NBA hoops with the Celtics and the Sixers.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
What is going on with that fan base down there?
And Bernie Siplicki.
Can you not hear me?
I can't hear you too well. I can kind of hear something.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Redick gets open in the corner for three, and he misses it. Rebound, Rozier. Celtics have numbers. Rozier running with Tatum. Lobs it in the air, and Tatum throws it down.
Oh, my. J.J. Redick missed the easiest shot he could make, and the Celtics run back and get two more.
What the f*** is that?
You want to talk about some exciting comeback NBA playoff basketball, Sixers-Celtics. We're not talking Andrew Toney, Cedric Maxwell, Julius Erving, Moses Malone, and the big three for the Celtics. We're talking Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Terry Rozier, Ben Simmons. Oh, and who's the number one pick overall that doesn't play?
Number one
Fultz,
pick overall.
Fultz or, that's
with
right.
With a mechanical issue?
Yeah, yeah. You know,
he looks like Charles Barkley's golf swing on his shot.
Right, the guy who the Sixers chose to trade for and not take Tatum. But anyways, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
You want to talk about just, you know, people say a surprise. You know, the Sixers are down 2-0 to the Celtics, even though the Celtics were home.
Celtics fans are saying it's a surprise. You know, I think it's one of those where you like develop this chip on your shoulder because you want to have a chip on your you want to have a reason to go into a series feeling like the underdog, but that's a deep team. You know, that is a really deep, young, athletic team. You know, I like their chances.
Yeah, I mean, I look at these guys and I don't know, do you have that clip of Tim Legler?
I do. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear that.
Part of the reason I think is because they're still a pretty young team with their decision makers. Okay. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And I think there are times, as great as Ben Simmons has been at 6'10 playing the point, there are times when you go, man, it'd be nice if they had a true point guard that has been a point his whole life to manage certain situations. And I think that contributes to that.
You know, I look at these two teams and their roster makeup, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, no doubt.
Yeah, Simmons is nasty.
Right.
It looks like he's got ice skates on. He's going so fast.
Those guys are so good and, you know, I'm a J.J. Redick fan for a long time.
What do you think of the tattoo, the sleeve tattoo? It doesn't fit with the profile.
Can't say I'm a fan of that, but yeah. I'm a fan of his jumper. But you look at the Celtics, and you look at Al Horford, Marcus Smart, even Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, all those guys, they just got a little something more, like a toughness that I don't see on the other side with the Sixers.
Yeah, it felt like a college game. There was like momentum and the Sixers came out strong and then the Celtics got the momentum. They're down 22. They start chipping away. It felt like a college game. And once the momentum turned towards the Celtics' favor, it was almost inevitable that they were going to win the game.
Yeah, and please feel free to chime in if you want to talk about the Celtics and the Sixers, 655-6672, or if you want to text 655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. I just, you know, and back to your point with it just felt like a college game. So when those runs were going on, who was the guy for the Sixers that was going to say, hey, you know, all right, this has got to stop. I just don't see that. Like, J.J. Redick tries, but he's just not good enough.
He's the vet, right? He's the guy who's kind of grabbing the bull by the horns, pulling them into a huddle saying, guys, we got to slow down the ball, right? And they, but, they're just too young at this point. They're going, the Sixers are going to be ridiculous. They're not there yet.
But, you know, I don't know. I just see a couple of things missing with the Sixers. You know, you know, Al Horford flying under the radar, but just you want to talk about glue.
Yeah.
That guy is glue. Rozier, confidence galore. You know, he just had flashes, you know, last year, and now is just going to another level. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Brown comes off the bench. I don't think that he's come off the bench. I think he's been a starter.
And he's not even healthy.
Yeah, and to think how deep they are, how many guys they can rotate in that are legit scoring threats, play good D, like the Celtics are a good team. Like the King is looming. Make no mistake, the King is looming for them. But I think they're going to erase the 76ers and move on.
I would agree. I think it's pretty comfortable. I'm going to be, you know, with the game today at 5 o'clock, I'm real excited to see how the Sixers respond.
Sure, in their home gym, right?
You know, and people have mentioned, okay, what did Ben Simmons do last year? Nothing. He sat out the whole year. Joel Embiid, hit or miss. You know, you look at your two superstars, and they just don't have that experience, that taste yet for what is really happening. And I just think that, I just think the matchup.
They can't keep the pace, right? I mean, Covington's a nice player and everything, but if you look down their roster after Simmons and, like, you got
The two European players who are good.
Yeah, they're good, but they cannot keep the pace when the Celtics keep rotating in guys like Smart and Jaylen Brown is coming off the bench and Larkin comes in and plays D, right? They're a good team.
Greg Monroe came in off the bench the other night, played 6 minutes, got 4 points, and that was just trying to find a spark. You know, they were in trouble at that point, and he kind of got it going with Morris, and they're just so good. Now, I just think that this series, I think you're right. I think the Celtics are going to take this series.
Yeah,
and with all the hype, you know, the Sixers did so much during the regular season at the end, and then, you know, they took care of, I didn't think, which was a very good Miami Heat team, but they took care of them in five. And then, you know, you run into an experienced Celtics team, and they're not ready to make that next step.
If you had to do it all over again right now, reset the draft, do you take Simmons or you take Tatum? Like, where's it going?
Well, but again, this is Tatum's second. This is Simmons' second year out.
If you were going to build your franchise around one of those two players.
Oh, wow.
Tatum is ridiculous. The guy is super athletic.
Well, but you don't even know he's out there.
Right.
He just kind of flatlined.
Mm-hmm.
He's just flatlined. I just think if Ben Simmons develops a jump shot, you know, his talent is just so special.
He brings the ball up too. He's like their point forward kind of.
Yeah, he's just so special. I mean, it's hard for me to say it. I'd take Simmons.
Really?
I really would.
I'm surprised.
I think. Well, I mean, you know, I just think that Simmons just has something special, and if he develops that jumper, it's over.
Yeah, it's over. This series is over. By the way, this series is over. Sixers may sneak a win at home today. Maybe, I don't know. I think that the Celtics are getting.
So you're saying the Celtics in five?
I'm saying the Celtics in five.
Wow.
The NBA playoffs is like a script. It plays out like a script.
Don't say that.
I've watched it year after year. I think that there's.
So then what happens tonight? Do the Sixers blow them out?
I think the Sixers win the game handily in their home gym. There's a lot of, you know.
Spread's nine.
Kevin Hart is there running around, excited. Did you catch the Gucci Mane and Meek Mill were at the game the other day, and Bob Kraft got in the middle of their conversation? It was ridiculous. It was like the old guy with the mouth agape with, like, standing between two guys. He has no idea what's going on in the conversation.
Yeah.
Look it up. The highlight of the meme is hilarious.
Nah,
it was funny.
Yeah. I'm sure it was, but ugh. But now, if you're Danny Ainge, do you trade Rozier in the offseason?
Ooh, building block player, no way. I don't think you can.
You're so deep. You are so talented. You got Kyrie and Gordon Hayward coming back. You could get You got Sacramento's pick in two years. This year you're fine in the draft. Then you got Sacramento's lottery pick in 2 years. You find someone to take him a couple years in 2 years for an unprotected lottery pick, you're going to get another one.
I get that, but they're so deep at this point. And I'm going to ask you, as a Celtics fan, with Kyrie, with the injury and everything, I mean, we forget he's not even playing in this series right now, and they're this good. How much are you going to stake on Kyrie's injured knee?
Well, that's the million-dollar or Terry Rozier question. Yeah. I think if he's in trouble, you got to keep him. But if you feel confident, you got to explore it.
I think a great example of why I wouldn't bank on Kyrie is knee injuries in the past. I mean, Adrian Peterson was a franchise player, knee injury, then like three or four more knee injuries. I wouldn't bank on anyone coming off of a knee injury of any kind. Just for the future, I never.
It slows you down. I mean, you're going to lose a step. There's no doubt about it. He's still a great player, even a step slower, but his ceiling has, we've reached his ceiling.
You think so?
I do.
You think that game-winning shot in Game 7 in Golden State was the pinnacle for him?
That was special.
That was three.
A special moment. Yeah, he should enjoy that. I hope he's got a picture framed above his fireplace of that shot.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I was at Buffalo Wild Wings for that game, and I was watching that shot. And when he hit that shot, I jumped out of my seat and made a little bit of a scene.
Because you were happy it went
in? Oh, it was exciting. I got excited. I always like to watch the Warriors lose, admittedly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not a fan of them. For the same reason Big Mike McGillicuddy isn't a fan of them, which is that they're so cocky, they'll just take games off, and I don't like it.
Well, you should never take a game off. You should cherish every moment you have the opportunity to play.
If I'm paying $100 to come watch you play basketball, please play your hardest.
Why, when I already got you $100 in my pocket?
Oh, man, don't do it to me. I'm still picking up Cespedes' diamonds on the infield, man. The series is over. The Celtics are moving on. King James looms.
Well, we'll see what happens. I'm going to be interested to watch this game, Game 5 today at 5 o'clock. But when we come back, a special out in left field.
Want to hear something weird? It's Out in Left Field on Sports Saturday, only on 101.3 ESPN.
We are live here on Sports Saturday, closing out hour number one. And when we close out hour number one with this music, I get the opportunity to hand the reins over to Aaron and to Jan, who's filling in for Jeff today because Jeff's out on assignment, with our Out in Left Field special segment. Aaron, it's all yours.
It's Out in Left Field, and it's our special Cinco de Mayo edition. We've got 10 Cinco de Mayo fun facts. First fun fact, it is not actually a celebration of Mexico's Independence Day.
That is a true fact. Cinco de Mayo celebrates Benito Juarez's victory over the French at the Battle of Puebla. I'm not sure of the year, but
1862.
Okay, 1862. But so Battle of Puebla, and on France's side they had Zidane, and on Mexico's side they had Chicharito, Javi Hernandez, and Javi won it. Javi kicked a golden goal.
That's fun fact number two. Mexico won the battle, but then they did not win the war.
Right. So Napoleon III, I'm not sure if that's the guy with the hand in the jacket or not, but he ended up taking the victory in the end, and France occupied Mexico for like another 100 years.
Napoleon III had multiple motives on May 5th.
Yes, definitely. He wanted conquest, expansion of the French Empire. The sun never set on the French Empire at that time. That was his goal. And he also loved avocados.
Abraham Lincoln sympathized with the Mexicans because what?
Abraham Lincoln sympathized with the Mexicans because at the same time that this was happening, he was putting together a little thing called the Civil War in the United States.
It's not a federal holiday in Mexico.
No, because it's got Mexican people are like right now, they're like, the gringos are celebrating this thing that's kind of a non-event for us. It's a big deal that we won, but our Independence Day is actually in September.
You guys got 1 minute left.
Franklin Roosevelt popularized Cinco de Mayo in the U.S.
He did, and he wore a festive hat and a pretty red and green shirt.
Lots of avocados.
Many avocados. Mas tequila.
World's largest Cinco de Mayo party is held in
Austin, Texas.
Los Angeles.
Dang, I was close.
Some celebrate with Chihuahua races.
That sounds awesome. I'm in. Sign me up.
And then finally, Americans like their tequila. Do you got that fact in front of you?
I do like tequila. I think that you have to have 100% agave. Don't take anything that's not 100% agave. Tres Generaciones is my favorite.
The fun fact, though, is that the United States consumes twice as much tequila as Mexico, where the spirit originated.
Yes, you got to grind the plant up and then boil it down, and then it tastes good.
That is Out in Left Field.
Wow. Well done, my friends. Well done. Hitting the top of the hour. Little Sports Center with Aaron when we come back, talking a little baseball.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
I mean, I'm not as tall and I don't have the hair and I'm not good looking, but I mean, other than that, I mean, you know, Tom Brady and I are a lot alike.
And Bernie Siplicki.
No.
No.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to hour number two of Sports Saturday. We are living the dream. We're taking you with us 1 hour in the books. I'm Bernie Siplicki in the lead chair. Jeff Paul out on assignment. My man, Jan, filling in. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Feeling the burn.
Feeling the burn. Ready for hour number two?
Let's do it.
Aaron on the board. How we doing?
We're good.
We're good?
We're good.
We're good. All
Last
right.
Last segment was atrocious. I apologize to anybody out there.
I thought it was pretty interesting.
Really?
I'm not going to lie.
I enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad.
You know, it was good, but, you know, again, we did a little out in left field, Cinco de Mayo edition style.
It's also Green Up Day.
It is Green Up Day, but first, there was a baseball game last night in Mexico, right?
Jugábamos al baseball, see? Yes.
Okay.
There was a baseball game in Mexico last night. Dodgers pitched a no-hitter, combined no-hitter. Walker Buehler.
Fry.
Bueller.
Fry.
Yeah, so...
Bueller.
Yeah. Oh, you've seen that movie?
I've seen that
movie.
Yeah!
All right.
You've seen a movie.
Oh, Aaron, you know, hasn't seen Caddyshack, hasn't seen... What were the other two?
I don't know. He saw Alien and he thought it was a love story. Is that right?
No, that's not right. No, you're mixing that with Jeff's whole... getting abandoned. No, I saw Aliens and decided I don't ever want to go to space.
Good, yeah. Space is dangerous.
You know, that's right. You haven't seen... Caddyshack, you hadn't seen Jerry Maguire, and there was a third one.
Space Jam and Forrest Gump.
You haven't seen Space Jam?
I have not seen Space Jam.
I think I have Space Jam on VHS.
Wow.
I can loan him. Yeah, that's what you need. You got to
wow.
put that on the
okay.
list.
Okay, so yeah. Man, we got definite note to self. Got to get him some movie passes or Redbox.
Brings it back around to Michael Jordan, too, right?
Yeah, we're coming to MJ. Next segment, I want to have a conversation about LeBron versus MJ.
You're out there cleaning up your garage right now. Who you got? Do you have LeBron or do you have Jordan, right?
But,
so we'll talk about
but
that.
But if you're out there cleaning up your garage, we mentioned the Albert Pujols already with his 3,000th hit last night. The you know, things kind of happen in three. That was one, the no hitter, and then the third thing on this Green Up Day, your boy Matt Harvey,
Los Metropolitanos. So yeah, people are picking up garbage along the side of the road right now. There is
one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Right. There's a team out there right now that's licking their chops over Harvey as a reclamation project. I'm sure. I've heard the Texas Rangers may have like a tie. There's a pitching coach there that may want to bring Harvey in and clean up his mechanics. I don't think he's clean upable. I think that his attitude is
clean upable.
Yeah, that's a thing on Green Up Day. You can say that.
You can.
Yeah. I think that his attitude, his prima donna, self-absorbed, I don't think that he'll be a factor in Major League Baseball ever again.
Man, you're as passionate about Matt Harvey as Jeff is about LeBron.
I have a lot of passions. I'm a passionate guy. I'm not going to lick somebody, but I'm very passionate about my teams that all stink, right? We know Knicks, Rangers, Jets, Mets.
The Knicks.
Yeah.
Who's that?
So the Knicks.
Oh, they're in the NBA.
Right. They just hired their new coach this week. They got the guy from, he sung the song The Humpty Dance.
Digital Underground.
That's David Fizdale. That's our new coach.
So tell me why, if I'm the Yankees and I'm still kind of searching for that last arm.
Montgomery's hurt, right?
You know, why would I not explore Matt Harvey?
For the Yankees, I don't think that you take him simply for the fact that he is a self-absorbed prima donna, right? When he had his troubles, you can look back to like he went out for the first time, had Tommy John surgery in 2013, and then no fans spoke up about him. Not, his teammates didn't come to his side. Parallel situation when CeCe went out, had his troubles there, had to step aside and check himself in, right? The fans and the players were passionate about, like, we got your back, CeCe. Come back, man. We got your back. We're holding a spot for you, right? With Harvey, it's not that way.
Do you think, though, now that he's been kicked to the curb, a motivated Matt Harvey for a rental for the rest of the season is a bad thing?
I don't think so. I don't think this guy has a humble meter inside of him. Like, when they sent him to the bullpen, we were in San Diego, and
who was we?
So the Mets. Sorry about that. Yeah, so, Sandy, give me a call, Sandy. So we got to get a catcher. So they sent him to the bullpen, and then that night he's spotted in Los Angeles at like a Stars party, drinking and allegedly having himself a party. Comes back the next day, they call him out of the bullpen. He gets rocked. And his
a second time?
Yeah, his excuse was, I wasn't prepared. I'm not sure how to prepare myself yet out of the bullpen. Like, you're a Major League Baseball player. You're a pitcher. You've been pitching since you were 8 years old. You don't know how to get loose and come in a game and throw strikes? Like, I don't know, man. I think this guy doesn't have a humble meter.
That's an interesting a take on that. If you have any take on Matt Harvey or anything about baseball right now or anything in the sports world, please give us a call, 655-6672, or feel free to text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, 655-6672. Make sure you give us your name and where you're from so we can give you some love. Yankees, Red Sox, here it comes.
That's right. It's this week. It's
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Both teams are off on Monday.
Right, and they are right now having their warm-up matches against Cleveland and Texas. Bartolo pitched against the Red Sox last night. Respectable start for Bartolo, but Mookie Betts hit his 13th home run. The Red Sox lineup is really good. It's really deep. You really can't find a spot to pitch around. Benintendi's the only guy with an average that's like in the low 200s.
And that's not going to last.
Yeah, you know that he's going to come around. He's a good ball player.
Yeah, it did. You know, again, the Yankees, these two teams, it almost like we should fast forward to the playoffs, but these two teams in Houston, and then you just got to throw in Cleveland, who could be dangerous if they get their pitching together, and then
sure,
whoever else. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot of parity in the American League, and it's just kind of top heavy.
Yeah, there's some bad teams out there for sure, but we look forward to these games. Like, the Yankees and Red Sox have already duked it out one time this year, which is awesome. It sets up the rivalry. You know, we're going to have battles for how many? They play 60 more times.
Yeah, who knows?
A lot of more times this year. The Yankees are on the rise. Last night, Gleyber Torres hits his first home run.
They're on the rise. They were in the American League East championship last year.
We're not used to being right?
So wait a second. You just said we as a Mets, and now we as a Yankees.
Yeah, apologies.
You can't do that.
Yeah, apologies to Brian Cashman. Brian, call me if you're out there listening. So the Yankees and Red Sox, at some point this week, it'll be tied. Their records will be even, and it'll be all square, and let's go. Let's match it up.
Yeah, it's just it is great for baseball, without question. I think when both of these teams are good, because it just keeps people interested.
If
one team was not good, and the way the Red Sox started, and now here come the Yankees, and no one's really talking about it. I mean, these guys are playing close to 700 baseball.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, they're on like a homer happy streak too. Every night you look in the box score, and three different guys have hit home runs, and their pitching has been solid enough. Right, last night they came back. Good effort by the bullpen. Earlier this week, they had a 9 strikeout performance by Robertson, Betances, and Chapman. You know, strikeout to side 3 innings in a row, lock it down. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know,
not bad at all. But kind of shifting to the NL East. Tell me about the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, this is a team that is going to be fun to watch for a long time. So they brought up Ronald Acuna Jr.
And they bring up Joey Bats?
Joey Bats. They've got this guy, Ozzie Albies, I think his name is. He's ridiculous. The Braves are going to be good. They've got a young pitching staff that is also, I mean, they went away. They did one of those fire sales and went away for a couple of years to kind of reset it. and now they've reset it. They still have Freddie Freeman.
They found their Dale Murphy and Chipper Jones,
right.
Fred McGriff.
Claudell Washington.
Washington. Center field, right?
Yeah. He came to the Yankees after a bit.
Everybody calls the Yankees at one point.
It's true. Bob Horner one time hit 4 home runs in a game. So if you're old timers out there.
Wow.
So, yeah, the Braves are going to be good. The Braves will maybe be good this year, like one of those teams that you didn't think about in the offseason, and now they're just going to show up on the radar.
And the Phillies?
The Phillies are the Phillies. I hate to say it for Philly fans out there listening, but it's smoke and mirrors right now. Your pitching staff isn't that good.
Wait a second.
The guy that they've been touting last night, Nick Pivetta, came out there and pitched one inning, right?
Wait a second. You can't make fun of the Philly fans. The Eagles? Villanova, okay. The Sixers have had a year, and now the Phillies. Okay, the Flyers stunk, but I mean, come on now.
Well, the Philly they've gotten better. A couple of years ago, they were an awful team. As close back as last year, you looked at the Phillies as like, okay, these are some wins that we can collect. But they're getting better. They also have a young nucleus like the Braves, but it's a ways off. Miguel Franco is not the centerpiece of any team's lineup, and that's their guy.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very promising.
No, I'd rather have Julio Franco, who's like 54 and can still rake.
Oh, man. And you said the Mets really struggling right now.
So
started off and now just...
I love this. So the typical Mets fashion, 12-2, come out of the gates hot. They're doing this salt and pepper cracker thing. Todd Frazier, the Todd father. Yankee fans remember him last year for his epic strikeouts. They're now 17-13. Right.
That's not good.
They're 3-8 in there. They haven't won back-to-back games since like April 8th. The Mets are bad. Expect them to be bad. If DeGrom or Syndergaard go down sometime this year, then you can just kind of, Mets fans, join me in jumping on the Yankees bandwagon and enjoying the rest of your summer having something to watch.
Wow. So but don't the Mets do this more often than not? Get off to a great start, make you buy the MLB package because you think they're going to be good, and then just kind of fall apart.
You got to believe, right? From Tug McGraw, you got to believe. But they do this to us. It's like the Godfather. They like reel us back in. Every time we think we're out, they reel us back in. Sometime in June or July, they'll go on a hot streak. But they're not a good team. They're old. The lineup is old. The young guys, Rosario and Nimmo and Lagares, the guys that they're trying to build around, are fragile. And they're in trouble. They're in trouble. They're one injury away from being out of even the thought process.
So now that the faith is waning,
Tebow?
Tebow,
bring him up. He's a rumble pony right now. He just hit a home run this week. The guy looks great in a shirt, right? Put him in that jersey. Have him sign autographs. You know, but he's if you're going to sell tickets, I mean, they want to sell tickets.
Butts in seats.
Yeah, that's bring him up.
All right. Interesting right there. We got a couple minutes left, and we wouldn't do it justice. One thing we haven't talked about, the Kentucky Derby.
Who do you have? Who are you taking today?
Well, I mean, again, I'm not a big horse fan, but I like a name, so I got to do the bartender. My boy Jack.
Nice.
Got to line him up.
Line him up.
Got to go with that. I think his odds are... extremely long.
Who cares?
But it'll make it even better.
That's right. Can you make a mint julep out of Jack Daniels?
You can make anything out of Jack Daniels.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm going to take Noble Indy, and there's an Italian horse in there called Firenze Fire. I'm going to take that just because I like Italian food. That's how I bet on the Kentucky Derby. The name is all that really matters.
Right. That's all that matters. I mean, supposedly the weather isn't going to be great, so you got to look for a mutter.
Right.
I don't understand.
Sure, I got that. Yeah. You know, I'm deep on my Kentucky Derby horse knowledge.
The mutter, you know, they have all and the mutter and the jockey. I guess the jockey is very important.
Is Chicharito a jockey today?
I don't know. I've got no idea.
I don't know.
I'm just looking forward to the hats.
The best 2 minutes in sports, though. Can you sell on that or buy on that? Will you take that as the best 2 minutes in sports?
The Kentucky Derby?
Yeah.
No. I can't.
It's like NASCAR with four horses.
Well, I mean, I think there's a little more. I think it's a little more interesting than NASCAR because I think there's a little more human element, especially with the animal. I think that's pretty cool. I just, although like you know walking in, oh, we got to see how he looks and. All these animals are awesome.
There's splendor
involved, and it's just. all right, you know, have some fun, have some good food.
I'm kind of afraid of horses, though. Like, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not interested in like, getting close to one of those big. The thing could stomp you or bite you, and that scares me.
Any animal that stands taller than me terrifies me.
There you go. Not hard.
He is kind of a short stack.
Ouch.
Sorry, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the Derby's fun. Like, the Derby, there's a reason to get around the TV to watch the Derby. It's a good time.
Yeah, but see, the timing stinks. What time's the race? Like, a little after 6? The Celtics play at 5.
Yeah, it's something to flip to.
For 2 minutes?
For 2 minutes.
Okay.
You can watch the hats and stuff for a couple, you know, flick back and forth.
I mean, there's going to be stuff all over the place of pictures of hats and all that kind of stuff.
Just jump to the Derby when Simmons is shooting free throws.
Or if they put Fultz in. Although, no, that's must-see TV. If Fultz is at the free throw line, I want to see that dude shoot it.
Well, do you think they didn't put him in, Fultz, in at Boston just because of the pick and, you know, all that kind of stuff, the trade to... Because his ego might be really fragile right now.
Yeah. I think in warm-ups, he shot a couple, and he was like, no.
I'm out.
I don't have it today.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see what happens. A lot of exciting stuff. We got the Derby. I got all the Derby previews on at 5, I guess. And then we got the Celtics at 5. But when we come back, little conversation. LeBron versus MJ. Who you got?
Let's go.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You guys want to hear my Jeff and Bernie impression? I was watching the Giants game while Monica waxed my head, and Eli Manning is terrible.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Oh, here we go. Come on, Jeff. Lay off, Eli. Where's my Mountain Dew?
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, everybody. I am Bernie Siplicki in the lead chair for Jeff Paul, who's out on assignment. As we wind down, my man Jan, filling in, doing a great job. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bern, for having me. Let's go. We got a good conversation coming up.
We do. Aaron on the board has a couple of texts to read us. Go ahead.
All right, this is off the Town Fair Tire text line. Brady Farkas is apparently listening. He texts in, Matt Harvey, is also owed $5.6 million the rest of the year. Not a cheap investment as teams try to stay under the luxury tax. That's why the Yanks won't go for him. They'll keep that money for the trade deadline. Christopher Jans asked what happened with our signal. For those of you who can hear, but it's shaky, the transmitter in New York is down, so we're on a backup transmitter. So we don't have great coverage right now. We are available, though, on the app and the website. Chris, the Mets fan, calls out Jan saying, how can you be a Mets-Yankees fan? Dang, bro. Let's go, Mets.
Dang, bro. It's a lifetime of misery. I'm carrying a cross, Chris, and for Jens.
69 and 86.
Yeah, I wasn't alive in 69, and in 86, my mom made me go to bed so that I had to listen to it on the radio.
Isn't that even better?
It was. I still prefer a game on the radio. Out on the deck,
right?
With a beverage under the stars. Baseball is like summertime magic that way.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. And I appreciate all that insight. A special thanks to Brady for listening to us. That means the boss. Yeah, the boss is out there.
He's taking time out of his busy weekend. You know, he's taking a moment away from the station. Thanks a lot, Brady. Yeah, I agree. Like, you're not going to spend that money on Harvey, knowing that you may get no return and you also have a clubhouse problem in your investment.
And if you're Matt Harvey, why would you walk away from that kind of money?
He's not going to. He's going.
I know he's going to, but I'm just saying, like, just you're going to play a game and get paid that kind of money. It just infuriates.
Is there any level of, like, I mean, you played sports, you're a 1,000-point scorer at UVM, good basketball player, can still shoot the rock a little bit. Could you wrap your head around accepting a assignment to the minor leagues if you were Matt Harvey?
You know, I'd be mad. I would be mad, but I would also be like, all right, to heck with you. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to pitch twice, and you're going to bring me right back up.
And they're going to need him. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Right. I don't know. It just frustrates me. Even like I promised I didn't want to bring up the Giants segment, but I got to do it. Like Eric Flowers, you know, he's not at camp because the Giants signed Nate Solder. I mean, my gosh, go to the right side, be the right tackle, be the last piece of that puzzle, and be good.
These guys are sensitive, man. They've got fragile egos, no doubt about it. Flowers, he's never lived up to the potential?
Okay. No, not at all. I mean, he wasn't horrific. He wasn't good, but the whole thing.
He's a little bit of a turnstile.
Right, but the whole thing was a mess. The whole offensive line was terrible.
Yeah.
And
that's why they were bad, essentially. If they had addressed the offensive line, the Giants are not that far away. If we're going to go there, Bernie, the Giants are not that far away. They took Barkley, and they took the best football player, and they're not that far away. Their defense is still legitimate, and they will push for the playoffs this year. They're in a tough division, but they'll push for the playoffs this year.
I mean, you look at their offense. They've got...
We're going there. You said we weren't.
Okay. Yeah, because I want to talk about something that I can't talk with Jeff.
We could talk about
No, you're right. You're right. Jeff and I will be able to talk about the Giants on numerous occasions. This is something, because Jeff is so passionate about...
This is special.
It is, because I just... Growing up, MJ was the man. MJ is the GOAT. MJ was everything. This last decade, 13 years... Has LeBron overstepped him, especially with what he's doing this year? I mean, look at what he's done.
Yeah.
And look at what he's doing. Yeah, maybe Toronto's a good matchup and, you know, gag, but man.
Yeah, the stat line on LeBron, the ESPN little flash that they put up, LeBron, game two, scored or assisted on 77 points in their game two win. Gadzooks. LeBron is crazy. He's hungry for a title. He's a tremendous player. He's a physical specimen, can handle the ball, can pass, can shoot. He does everything. He is awesome.
He hasn't missed a game this year.
Wow. I mean, that says it all, too. With guys taking games off, like, you know, that we're talking about prima donnas and guys taking games off and low energy and everything. And LeBron's a basketball player.
And how many years in a row has he been to the NBA Finals? Was it
seven?
That's crazy to think.
And yes, Mike had his two runs of three and then three.
He could have been eight in a row, though, if he had stayed in the league. He could have been eight in a row.
Would've, could've, should've.
And he brought the Cavs in 2007, and they weren't even a good team, right? It was just him.
Right. Look at some of the teams that he's brought. Now, okay, with expansion, rule changes, all this kind of stuff. What LeBron James is doing right in front of our eyes. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not a LeBron James fan. I respect LeBron. I can't stand the...
As a basketball guy, you appreciate
it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, how can you not? You know, and what he's done to transcend the game. He took free agency to another level.
He did. He created the super team, right? It's LeBron's
And you know, you can go back and say, well, look at the Celtics with Bird, McHale, and Parrish. Well, guess what? They drafted him.
Right.
Those, you know, and there was a trade.
Yeah.
It wasn't, hey, Aaron, Jan, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get the same agent. We're going to do this. And this was Red Auerbach putting that together. This was right. Jerry West putting together Magic, Worthy, and Jabbar. It's totally different. So I don't want to hear there were super teams before there were super teams. Maybe there were, but it's put together differently now.
I agree. It's a whole different ballgame. The players are calling the shots. They're organizing the teams together. The Warriors and Aaron, again, like, I'd love to see the Warriors lose. They put this team together because they want to have a run at rings.
Right. And these guys, like, now, in some circumstances, unlike your boy Carmelo, are taking pay cuts to play together to try to win. In some circumstances, but it's going to be I just think, you know, you look at LeBron, you look at Mike, and I just think with what he's done it with different people at different levels. The first time with the Cavaliers, the first time he got to the finals, that team was terrible.
Yeah. But think about if you want to make a case, and we're just talking about championships, and Jordan's got six rings compared to LeBron's three, right?
Yep.
If you want to talk about that, and Jordan brought Will Perdue. to the finals, right? Jordan brought like he brought some bad players.
But Jordan had Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, Dennis Rodman. Early on, he had B.J. Armstrong and Paxson, Ron Harper. I mean, look at okay, yeah, Kevin Love is good.
There are pieces though; those guys are not superstars on another team.
Who were those guys when they weren't on the Bulls? Like Scottie Pippen, he played for the Sixers, right? What did he do with the Sixers?
What did the Cavaliers do after LeBron left?
Well, that's a fair point. It's why they're both in the conversation. Which one's one? Which one's two?
And Aaron, I'm going to also dispute the claim a little bit too, because the year that Jordan went and tried to play baseball, Scottie Pippen was head and shoulders above everybody else as the best player in the league that year.
And Tony Kukoc didn't come through for him.
Right.
I hear you.
Yeah. But I wasn't alive, so this is awesome. Yeah. This is speaking off of what other people have told me and what I've watched.
Well, you got to go back and watch it with the four movies we've already talked
about
today.
And Bill Russell has the most rings. Like, Bill Russell's got the most rings. But I don't know about Bill Russell's 11 championships. I didn't see him play basketball.
But again, that's also different. But that's not what we're talking about. You know, LeBron versus...
All right, let's go to the tape. So LeBron 6'8", 250. Right? He's a big boy.
Yeah. And if anybody has any... want to weigh in on any of this, 655-6672, please.
Yeah, you're all sweeping out your garages right now, oiling up the mower, right? You're thinking about Michael Jordan versus LeBron, too. I get it. I would be doing the same thing if I was home. So LeBron 6'8", 250, Jordan 6'6", 220, right? If they played one-on-one, if that's what we were going to measure it at, I think LeBron pushes him around a little bit. But
that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if we're gonna play that game in 1-on-1, I'm taking Charles Barkley over anybody.
There you go.
You know, and Charles Barkley never won anything.
Yeah.
And then there's two ways to look at it. There's comparing what they're capable of accomplishing, and then there's eye test. Because in terms of what they're capable of accomplishing, I would say probably LeBron, because Michael could have gone 8 in a row, but LeBron's done it with nobody. But when you go eye test, I've never seen anyone who can take my breath away in basketball the way Michael Jordan can.
No doubt.
But
he had a killer instinct.
But Michael Jordan hit it at the right time in terms of really when television and those type of things
started,
dunk contest and all that kind of stuff, he took that to another level.
Yeah, but he was the defensive player of the year as much as he was the MVP, right? He was tremendous on both ends of the court. Like Michael Jordan, as a Knicks fan, people out there listening that were 76ers fans or Hawks fans, anybody who wasn't a Bulls fan, when Michael was coming to town, you were going to watch and you were going to settle in for the fact that your team was going to lose.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. I mean, he was on a team that won 72 games.
Those highlights about against him and Bird, right, when he played Bird early in his career.
Oh, when he had the 63?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable game.
Was that three between the legs and then he pulled up?
Yes.
And Aaron wasn't even born, and he can recall the highlight of Jordan going triple.
I think he said Jordan went
Is that vernacular for basketball?
I guess that would be three in between the leg.
Okay. Yeah, he went boom, 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 and then he pulled up.
No, it was duh, he said.
Yeah, duh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was a highlight. Yeah, he was nasty.
Yeah, no, he was. I don't know.
Building a franchise right now and you start with them as a rookie, who do you take? Don't say Carmelo.
No, I will not. I will not say Carmelo. Between those two guys, if I'm starting with... I still have to take Mike because of just the likability factor.
He wasn't that likable.
Who?
Michael Jordan. He was mean. He was one of the best trash talkers in the history.
Right, but I mean in terms of...
Oh, you like him.
Like...
He would lick things, too. He would stick his tongue out.
No, stop it. We're not talking hockey. I just think about what LeBron is doing, and if LeBron... gets to the finals again this year. I just think it's unreal.
It is.
I mean, he's basically taken a roster that he was struggling with, had it moved, and now is taking this roster. It really, for the Michael Jordan come fly with me, it takes my breath away. It really does with what this guy's doing. Like game two. Oh my goodness.
77 points on scores and assists. Like, he basically manhandled the Raptors.
Yeah, and they've won 8 in a row against the Raptors, who have been the up-and-coming team in the East.
Right,
8 in a row, and I think 5 of them have been in O Canada. They've just been...
Lowry was zipping up his hoodie real tight.
Oh, it was
Celtics fans, the king is looming. He's coming for you. Enjoy this series against the 76ers, because the king is going to claim the crown.
But the Celtics will get the Cavaliers if they get them.
Let's go.
Let's hope it comes that way. But we're getting closer to our favorite segment, little hot or not, coming up. Who did the list this week?
It was Sophia, so get excited.
So this is going to be good. This will be a good week Sophia did the list. When we come back, hot or not.
Better turn up the AC, because it's time for Hot or Not. Powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Go ahead.
We are live. Sports Saturday. Winding it down. Hour number 2. Bernie Siplicki. Filling in for Jeff Paul, who's out on assignment. Jan, getting ready to venture into our favorite segment, Hot or Not. Aaron's favorite segment, for sure. So, Aaron, line them up, and let's knock them down.
All right, it's time for Hot or Not. Hot or Not is powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They won't disappoint, offering a large variety of regular and mini cupcakes and edible cookie dough daily.
Cupcakes are hot.
Yes. Yes. They're open every day but Monday.
Cookie dough.
Oh, I'm a cookie dough guy.
Lick the frosting.
They're open every day but Monday. Get them early, as hours are subject to change if they sell out. Hot or not, number 1. By the next Sox-Yankee series, the Yanks will be in first in the AL East.
So that's starting Tuesday. Neither team plays on Monday. The Yankees are trailing the Red Sox by 1 game. So they'll be in first place. Does that mean tied for first, or will they be in first?
We'll go tied for first.
Tied for first? Well, let's see. I'll say hot. What the heck? Red Sox aren't that good. All the Yankee fans are out there gushing, ready for this. So, Red Sox will lose one of the two over the weekend. Yankees sweep, and we'll be tied heading into the Bronx on Tuesday.
Hot, hot. It's magical. It's going to set up, the first series after the fight.
They'll be throwing it, people?
I don't know that you rehash that. I don't know that you do that in this series. But if one thing goes wrong, if there's a bad call or somebody gets thrown, get up and tight on Stanton, it could get ugly.
So if one thing goes wrong, meaning like the Yankees lose game 1 and everyone starts pouting?
Yes.
Okay.
That's fair.
Okay.
Number 2, Russell Westbrook will not be in OKC next year despite his best efforts.
Cold. Ice cold. There's no. He's there. The contract is signed. The guy's too expensive. Nobody wants to take on his personality. He's a tremendous basketball player, but nobody's taken him.
Yeah, I'm going to say not. I don't. I just don't think that he is going to go anywhere. And again, the bigger question is, how is he in the locker room? He's never really won, and he's had pieces. And, a guy who has averaged a triple-double for 2 years, there's some question marks there and how they couldn't get it done this year. I'm just going to say he's going to be there for another year.
Playoff P is the answer to that question. How this happened to a guy who averages triple-doubles? Playoff P.
Playoff P? Really? Yeah. Not Carmelo?
Well, yeah, but Melo wasn't supposed to be the guy. He was supposed to be the third piece. Paul George was supposed
to be... But Melo's not even the third piece. Steven Adams is the third piece now, because Carmelo's so bad.
Well, I agree with you, and Carmelo should come off the bench. But he won't, apparently. He'll do whatever they tell him to do for $28 million.
Right, I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, so number 3 was originally the Celts will be in the conference finals, but I'm feeling a little extra hot today. So the Celtics will sweep Philly to get to the conference finals.
Not. Sixers win in their home gym today.
I say hot. I don't believe in the Sixers. I like the Sixers. At the start of the NBA season, I have been told on a couple of occasions out and about that I was dead wrong on the Sixers. And I am a little bit, but not. They're not winning a game in the playoffs against the Celtics.
All right, number four. The Cavs will meet the Celts in the conference finals.
That's a done deal.
Come on.
Yeah, give us something else.
That had to be something that Sophia just said. Yeah, okay, Aaron, we'll put that one in for you. That had to be yours.
I wanted to get at least one in.
Okay.
In honor, I actually got two. In honor of Dave Hunter last week, Didi Gregorius is the greatest Yankees shortstop ever. I almost said strong safety. I'm a football guy.
Okay. Well, you know, I am not a Yankee guy, and I will say not. Especially, you know, Didi, win some championships, and then maybe we'll have the conversation.
I'm with you there, Byrne. Didi is a great player. He's a very likable guy. He's tremendous. He hits home runs. He plays great. His arm is ridiculous, but you got to put a ring on your finger before you're going to start talking about being great.
In
great
a Boston kids. Accent?
Yeah, Tommy. Tommy and Bobby.
So now, hold on. If you could meet one Yankee just to hang out with, because, you know, yeah, he's a likable Yankee, but who's the one Yankee right now on the roster that you'd want to hang with?
Chasen Shreve. No, I'm just kidding. CeCe. CeCe is my dude, man.
CeCe's your dude?
I'm going to hang out with him. We're going to have a sandwich.
And a cocktail?
No.
No, can't do that. That's right. Sorry.
Stay away.
Sorry. That's right.
I'm personally a Didi guy, just because.
So you'd want to just chill with Didi?
Yeah, he's so likable.
Like, okay.
He's a millennial.
Yeah. I'm all about Judgy, man. Yeah. I love the Judge.
That's a good call.
Fun fact, Didi Gregorius is also the only Yankees shortstop to ever hit 25 home runs in a season, so he's got a bright future, I think. But
he hasn't won.
Fair enough.
He played for the Netherlands in the World Baseball Classic.
Fun fact.
Good for him. Yeah. That's hot.
The Patriots draft pick Braxton Berrios was their most exciting rookie signing so far.
Well, obviously hot. Tom King, our guest at 1020, said that he loved the guy. He loved his mocks. He loved his
intelligence. He can do simple multiplication and division.
Yeah, he graduated early from the U's business school.
Top of the class, apparently.
So, you know, let's go with this guy. And again, the way the Patriots just find these guys.
Is he the next Welker? Is he going to grow a cool mustache and have a pretty looking girlfriend
and have 20 concussions?
Well, let's hope yes to the mustache and the girlfriend and no to the concussions.
I agree.
The Boston Bruins can come back and win in 7 against the Lightning.
I'm gonna say not. The Lightning are licking their chops to close there to close this one out in in Tampa Bay.
Ring a bell. Licking their chops. I like it. So Tuukka Rask is not that good. Zdeno Chara is the biggest man on earth. He is bigger than the mountain from Game of Thrones, but it's over.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, last night was what was the epitome of heartbreak.
They licked their last. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah. Well, the again, if you can find it, the Rock has the greatest line. Growing up about licking.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yes,
I love that.
You got to go find that.
Hot.
All right. So number 8. I don't know if you guys have heard the new story that came out that's sort of relighting this fire. But with controversy swirling around the treatment of NFL cheerleaders, the league should just abandon the practice altogether.
No, that's crazy. Cheerleaders are part of the climate and culture, and a little bit of feedback on that story. I saw it, and I don't have enough knowledge on the story to know for sure, but the story is that some people are coming forward to say that they made them do this, and then other cheerleaders are stepping forward to say, nobody made anybody do anything. Story's out there.
It's so hard. I just think... I think cheerleading is good for sports, but I just don't know.
Cheerleading is an awesome high school sport. And,
yes.
And actually, for kids growing up, cheerleading is a great sport. I think it's awesome. It teaches you team skills. You know, when you get to the NFL, it's different.
Well, and you know, the ability to the acrobat and the flips and all the stuff that they do. I mean, they're athletes within themselves. But, you know, it kind of goes to the other side. So... Just a tough one. I hope cheerleaders stay, but, you know, obviously to a point to where everyone is respected.
Yeah. Good call.
All right. That was Hot or Not.
That was Hot or Not. Another good week. Obviously, well done by your better half. So you can thank her for us. Just real interesting. You know, we got a couple minutes left in this segment. A lot of good stuff happening today. The Kentucky Derby, you know, baseball, Sox, Yanks, Mets, little NBA playoffs. We also, the NHL, still going. What's going on with, how are the Vegas Knights going?
Vegas won last night.
Yep.
That's good.
That's 3-2 now.
Yeah, Golden Knights.
Is it the
hockey
team?
Yeah. Yeah. If I was in Las Vegas, I would definitely go to a game. That sounds like a fun thing to do out there.
Well, the practices are almost as well attended as the games.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard they've got all kinds of performance art in the rink too. Like they do crazy stuff there's not halftime. There's just three periods, but like in between periods and whatnot.
Right.
I mean, I've heard they do crazy stuff, and that it's a really entertaining thing. I go.
Well, I mean, it is Las Vegas. It is the city of entertainment. And right.
Celine Dion's out there, Britney Spears.
David Copperfield.
Yeah.
You know, got himself in a little bit of trouble. Did you see that?
No. What happened with Dave? The magician?
Somebody in one of his tricks got hurt and suing him, and they had to, like, he had to give up his secrets and everything.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was a magician never revealed.
No, and in this case, for the millions he was getting sued for, he had to.
That's a bummer.
You know, it happened once, and he's done the trick gazillions of times, and all it takes is one.
Yeah, I guess.
And I'm just bringing it down. But what are you looking forward to, Jan, today?
I'm going to watch the Derby. I'm psyched about the Derby just because it's the fanfare around it. It's fun. It gives me a reason to make a special cocktail. So we're gonna line up a mint julep, and then we're going to follow that up with a margarita today for sure.
And to celebrate both.
Yeah, to celebrate both kind of big events that are going on. And then I'm also going to watch the Sixers and Celtics because as a Knicks fan, I can really appreciate how good a team the Celtics are becoming.
Yeah, and you just you hope that, like this song says, the Sixers get close to being knocked out by our Celtics for sure. When we come back, it's time to tie a bow on this show as we wrap up hour number two of Sports Saturday. We'll be back in a sec.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
But Brown? They score points, Bern. Like, they're still scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, that's fine.
And to me, in the NBA, if you can score enough points, you can beat anybody.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Well, if you score enough points in any game, you're going to win.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
We are Sports Saturday, and the Beastie Boys Brass Monkey means another show is coming to a close. I'm Bernie Siplicki filling in for Jeff Paul. Need to give a big shout out and thanks to my man Jan for coming in today and riding shotgun.
Thanks so much for having me, representing Underhill. Underhill getting cleaned up. People out there, thank you so much for the work that you're doing around the community, cleaning up Vermont.
It's what we do around here. We are definitely a green up day, green up state for the Green Mountain. Aaron, great job on the board as usual.
Thank you.
Before you get to all your festivities this afternoon, whether it's cleaning, watching the Kentucky Derby, the Celtics, NHL hockey, anything out there, even the, what is that? The One Main Financial 200, which you can hear on the Zone at 1 o'clock. Turn to ESPNU at noon for the University of Vermont men's lacrosse championship game against Albany for the America East title. So that's right after you're done listening to us, turn it right to the U and get ready to watch the Catamounts hopefully get a title.
Go Cats, go.
We'd like to thank our guest today, Tom King, beat writer for the Patriots. Great insight about the Pats. Aaron, as a Pats fan, how you feeling about him going forward?
I'm excited. I'm excited to watch this Braxton Berrios kid go out and be the next short white guy we've got on our team. I'm excited about Sonny Michel. We've got a dynamic running back, and I don't think Tom Brady's going anywhere.
You don't think Tom Brady and or the love affair between him, Robert Kraft, and Coach Belichick is slowly starting to fall apart.
The house of cards is starting to crumble.
Oh, no doubt it's falling apart, but I still think they're going to stay because they like rings. They're ring addicts.
They are, but I will say I think this is the last year for the Big Four with those three guys and Gronk.
As a Jets fan, that's fine with me because they just keep winning, right? It's awful.
It's what they do.
It's atrocious.
It's what they do. Again, a lot of good stuff for you to tune in today. The Kentucky Derby, 5 o'clock right here on 101.3. Red Sox at 7:20 on the Zone. Again, we have the One Main Financial at 1, then at 4:30. Preview for the Celtics game 3 against the Philadelphia 76ers. It's going to be a beautiful Saturday. Jan, any special plans?
Special plans are to get some oil in the lawnmower and to possibly make the first cut. You remember the first cut is the deepest.
No question about that. I should make a song about that.
Yeah, I like that.
That's, yeah, that's
catchy. Pretty
good. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Would that be like a folk song? Or like
I would have a guitar, acoustic guitar for that. The first cut is the deep. Yes, I've got it. I'm gonna write that later.
Nice.
After I get done mowing the lawn.
So again, we just want to thank you for coming in today. We are another local sports show on Saturday. Appreciate all the texts that came in on the Town Fair Tire text line. If you want to check us out, you can hear us on the podcast. Right? Is that
how do
right
we get in? To the podcast?
It is on the app or it's on the website, either way. And I'll have it posted by like 2.
For me and Bernie, can you like put explicit directions, like click here first?
1013ESPN.com or go to the app store and find it at the 1013ESPN app.
We want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening today. It is Green Up Day out there in this great state of Vermont, so make our world a little better by going out there and doing your part, and make somebody else's world a little better by going out there and doing something good for somebody so their day can be that much better as well. Thank you so much for listening. You'll hear Jeff back in the lead chair next Saturday on Sports Saturday. Have yourself a great weekend, everybody.